All right, we are in Silverlight World. This is Building 10. Who are you?
I'm Joe Stegman, Group Program Manager for Silverlight.
Cool.
Mark Alcazar, Dev Manager for Silverlight.
Good.
Vivek Dalby, Lead Program Manager for Silverlight.
Excellent. So Silverlight 2, Beta 2, has been announced. And so people are going to want to know what's in it, what's different, what's new, what's great, right? We just had Scott Guthrie on Channel 9 talking about Beta 1, showed us a bunch of cool stuff. What's new in Beta 2?
Did he?
Yes, he did.
We got to follow that.
Yeah, you do, man.
Yeah, the name's new.
Okay, cool. I like it. Twos.
Twos, yeah.
Do you do anything else?
Yeah. Twos like the new black, the new one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah. No, we did, actually, for a beta, there's a significant amount of new work that went into it. We did, let's see, starting off, we did some control work, we did some media work, we did some work with networking, WCF, we did a perf improvements, we improved stress, fixed lots of bugs, we added controls to our core runtime, you know, at a high level. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'm missing some stuff that Vivek and Mark can provide context on.
Sure. But, I mean, the point, obviously, is you guys did a lot of work.
Yeah, there's improvement in every bucket. It's even when we're going to go over the features, I don't think we're going to cover everything that we've added. But
sure.
Well, there was a ton of new features, and then, like, kind of Joe hit on it, you know, it's not just the new features we did. There was a lot of great, you know, unsexy stuff that hardly ever gets credit. You know, perf stuff, like our internal stress numbers went way up. Stuff like IME level 3 support, you know, something that, you know, not everybody cares about, but the people in Far East, you know, Far East Asian markets really, really care, which is going to be great. We kind of started the start of our plumbing for our accessibility, again, something not everybody cares about, but a lot of people will really, really, really care about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things that I would ask, because there's at least some confusion in my mind, which doesn't necessarily represent the real world, but sometimes Silverlight seems to be two things. It seems to be media, right? Silverlight players, streaming, that kind of reaction or interaction. And then there's the programming model for developers, which of course is now managed with SL2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's new? Let's try to split it up into what's new for the kind of media stuff, streaming stuff, and then what's new for people who write code for a living.
Okay. From the media side, really media was the key thing that we really worked on in Silverlight 1, and in Beta 2 we really added a lot of RA features. So one of the main things that we've done since between Beta 1 and Beta 2 is we've really tried to enable, well, say some more general purpose scenarios on our media platform, and the main thing we added there was we added the ability to send your own, well, I'll say compressed frames, but basically provide your own source for media. Hmm. In a real general sense, and what that means is that you can do some very interesting or build some really interesting platform solutions on top of that, where behind the scenes you can go fetch your media in any way you want, however you want, and then basically provide those directly to our media pipeline, which will decode them and provide the experience. You can do some real interesting stuff with adaptive streaming, for example, where you can have multiple bit rates, where behind the scenes you're doing things where you as an app developer are detecting bandwidth limitations or detecting drop frames, and based on that you can pull better or worse quality streams and automatically present them to the user in a very seamless way.
What's also really cool about how we've done it this way is, you know, Joe kind of hit on it, like we've exposed it, we exposed the platform features so you can use it in managed code. Mm-hmm. So people have done stuff like multiple bit rate support before, but there's been like a kind of canned heuristic. With this feature, you can go tweak your app to write, you know, roll your own heuristic, and you know, you can go crazy on how the heuristic works, right? You know, you can do crazy. It's because it's just all in the platform. You could go ping the server and, you know, tell me to slow things down. So I think a lot of people will start to make more use of it.
Really cool.
Yeah. The key thing, as Mark touched on, was is that it really wasn't about us enabling that vertical within necessarily directly within the platform, but enabling all the knobs, gauges, and extensibility points for anybody else to build that. Now, yeah, we have a reference implementation, but the key thing is that there are things that we no doubt didn't think about, or that there's a lot of smart people out there who may be able to improve upon, and we've created basically a platform by which you can build an even better adaptive solution than the reference implementation will have.
That's really, really cool.
So that's one of the key things we did. We also added something, sounds like a small feature, but a big feature to many of our customers, which is server-side playlists. We didn't have them in V1, which caused customers some pain. We didn't have it in V2 Beta 1, which caused customers some pain. And we listened, we heard that, and we finally buckled down, locked some people in a closet somewhere, and said, you can't come out until you have it done. And so we have a core implementation
did
now.
Did we take them out of the closet?
Wow. No, they're still in there?
No, if you hear shouting, they need to be fed. It's about that time.
So that's what we do. Yeah. All right. That's the sort of, the culture on the SL team, huh?
You think I'm joking.
No, I know you're not. You throw some meat into the devs' offices before you came over?
Yeah.
Very cool. So that's actually incredibly interesting, the adaptive streaming technology that you just mentioned. I mean, at some point, it'd be fun to really dig into how you pulled that off, because it's very interesting technology.
Yeah, it is. And for a beta release, too, for adding it in the beta release is really kind of cool. And I can't stress enough about how the implementation was done in a way that allows anybody else to build a similar solution on top, which doesn't constrain them by something that we've done within the platform. So it's really key technology and shows off very, very well.
Cool. Excellent. I mean, that sort of seems to be where Microsoft is heading generally in terms of creating these quote-unquote open platforms, which mean here's innovation on top of the platform to show you basically the world's best demo, if you will. Go ahead and roll your own thing and have fun. That's a great model. I notice around the company we're starting to do that more and more.
Also, the other thing is, like you mentioned, there are two buckets of Silhouette, like media versus framework. Yeah. But ideally, to create a good experience, they got to work together. Like, that's one of the reasons why you should expose it to API, because depending on what I'm trying to build as an app, I should be able to adopt the media is one part of the app, and so is text, and so is data, and so is, four other pieces, that networking, things like that. Mm-hmm. And they all got to work together to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. That's why one of the reasons why it makes sense to expose some of this as actually APIs rather than here's how it's going to work, because it's like shipping an app.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. And that's one of the powers of Silverlight, without sounding like a marketing blowhard. That really is one of the powers that you guys have represented. Now, let's talk about in the real world, right? So Beta 1's been out since MixOS 8. What kind of feedback are you getting? How are people actually using this technology? Because we have our ideas of how they're going to use it. What do you see happening in the real world?
Well, we've seen a lot of traction and some interesting applications in like the Hard Rock site, for example, is live now on Beta 1. So there are things like that we're really excited about. And in 1.0, our key was doing more media stuff, and it's really nice to start to see adoption based on things such as other features like the deep zoom technology.
Absolutely.
That we've been included in there. In addition, you'll see with Beta 2, we've been working with some partners who are doing more, what I'll say are more rich internet application types of things that aren't necessarily media focused, more like mail client, for example, something like that. So you'll see some of those start to pop up, and we've been working with customers on those implementations. So that's been really exciting to see that. And we've got a lot of customer feedback about things that we need to do to sort of improve that model. Being able to author apps, and some specific feedback we got was maybe from a tooling perspective, we could have done some things to make it so it was a little easier to style our controls. And we've done some work in Beta 2 to add a new styling model, if you will.
Nice.
We call it Visual State Manager, that allows you to more easily generate styles than you could in the previous version.
I would call it quite a new styling model. In the beta one, we kind of introduced a new styling model for our controls and components, and this is kind of a refinement on that, because basically some of the feedback was the number of states exploded.
Yeah.
There's tons of boilerplate styling templating code, and it was also hard to tool. So it kind of makes the models easier to understand. And
it's conceptually it's the same models. I would say syntactically it has changed. Right, so I could express the same concept in much concise way, mm-hmm. and it makes it much easier to tool, and tools can have a lot better experience mm-hmm. around those.
You know, back in the day, that wasn't too long ago, Avalon had the same problem, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we now, WinForms, or what, it's not WinForms, my God, how could I have said that? WPF has, you know, the, sort of the same problem,
yeah.
which they've also fixed. Now, there's a clear connection between Silverlight markup and WPF, and they seem to be merging more and more. There's not a one-to-one parity. I don't know what your guys' plans are and if you can talk about it, but certainly I could write a WPF application and run it in the Silverlight context, assuming I wasn't doing illegal things where I required security permissions, etc.
Yeah, in so, general, you'd start at Silverlight, the smaller one, and go bigger. And one of the things that we've tried to do is ensure that Silverlight is a subset of WPF. Now, WPF is a larger framework,
absolutely,
and is, you know, sort of the full fidelity Windows experience. So there are certain things that in providing that subset of the experience that we can't necessarily always provide 100% subset. So in general, I think we have numbers that we track internally where we're like 97%
cool.
You know, effectively the same as WPF. Mm-hmm. And we continue to track that, and we continue to try to make ourselves, you know, the best subset we can of WPF. On the other hand, there are things, too, that we're in the web world, we need to address them more quickly, like Deep Zoom. Mm-hmm. So if there's certain things like that that'll pop up first in Silverlight, mm-hmm. and then we'll build a compatible implementation of that that'll appear in WPF in the future. But the key thing really is any developer who uses WPF going to Silverlight is so easy. If you're familiar with the .NET framework and Visual Studio and the Blend tools, it's just it's a no-brainer to be able to go from one to the other. You don't even have to think about it. It just feels like home.
We've worked really hard to make this subset just work so you can move between them. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been rough edges sometimes, and, you know, beta 1, we smoothed down some of the rough edges. Beta 2, we've gotten better, yeah. and it's continuing to get better.
And XAML is one aspect of the platform, right? I mean, there are APIs that are not expressed with XAML. There are other APIs, like, you know, networking APIs. There mm-hmm. are, like Joe was saying, yes, if you're hand-coding everything, then XAML would be the only thing, or in a C# API, but tools experience should be similar.
Absolutely.
So we're trying to work across the board to make it, you know, like, okay, if developer is moving from WPF to Silverlight or Silverlight to WPF, it should not feel like, oh, I need to learn completely new thing.
Sure.
It should be saying, okay, there are some changes, there are some differences based on, okay, some platform is going to innovate in depending on what kind of needs there are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, you know, similar platforms. I don't have to learn everything new again.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I disliked most when Avalon was first coming out from Chris Anderson and mm-hmm. these other people. Brilliant idea, good stuff. But as a developer, and back then I was writing code professionally, the notion of writing XML, it's just like, man, it's just ugly. It's blob. I hate it. And so XML really is becoming more like HTML in the sense it's just code spit. It's just spit that something it takes, interprets, and does things with. And that's fine. As a developer, I don't want to spend a lot of time in XAML, right? I mean, let's be honest.
You don't. But there are advantages that you get out of that you may not realize, which is it's extremely toolable.
Yep.
And by extremely toolable, it's great for data interchange. And one of the great ways that we do that is between our developer and designer tools.
Yep.
Is that
true.
XAML is the format that those two things share, so which is XML. So there are great, valuable reasons to have XML as our behind-the-scenes data format.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100% correct that we don't want to make developers have to code in markup. They shouldn't know that at all. It should be the standard experience of either I'm using a design tool or I'm using an LLB authoring tool like Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. That's what the developer and the designer should be working with behind the scenes. It happens to be goodness, the mm-hmm. fact that it's some very toolable format that we use. And it is goodness, but they don't realize it, but they benefit from
it's
that.
Both that it's a shared tool, and ultimately, you know, the tools understand this common format, and, you know, we could have done a binary format, but the fact that it is XML, you can actually understand it, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, you know, comparison with HTML, kind of when you're using your blog writing tool, mm-hmm. you're writing in a kind of WYSIWYG editor,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes a blog writer is getting something wrong, and you go want to tweak the HTML. You switch to the source tab, and you go tweak it because you understand it. And that's what's great about it.
And we've all done that, too.
We've all done that.
using Blend, using Cider. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you mentioned Cider, which is the WPF design surface in Orcus.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys done anything specifically in Beta 2 that targets the tool runtime environment. So enhancements for Visual Studio, enhancements for my experience as a developer working in Visual Studio in Beta 2.
We've actually done a lot of work to help support the tooling of the platform. Uh-huh. The stuff that we did, the enhancements on the state model, the Visual State Manager, was something we did specifically to enable a better experience, not just for developers authoring controls, but to enable a better experience for Blend, the Blend tool itself. And so what you will see is that in a preview of a Blend that'll ship around the Beta 2 timeframe, you'll see that it does have some support for the Visual State Manager, which makes it better to be able to tool and skin controls.
And Blend, of course, is the design time development environment for designers. So design environment for designers, right?
Yep.
Excellent. You were going to say something, sir?
No, I was going to say, this is very interesting. The VSM, Visual State Manager part, was interesting. Like, Joe has worked on WinForms before, and like Mark and I worked on the previous. There are going to be places where we think, okay, we should make it better. And, you know, there will be some other places where WPF will think it's, oh, those are the things we should be improving on anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those kind of improvements are going to show up in WPF at some point. It's not like, you know, we're going to diverge, because the tools, the experience for developers should be consistent.
Absolutely. Right. Even though the heuristics or semantics or whatever I'm trying to do, I mean, on the one hand, if I've written a programming sort of model that works on top of what we deliver in our .NET framework in Visual Studio, it's still not departing from the base thing that we're talking about, which is managed code written in C#, VB.NET, or whatever,
exactly.
CLR underneath, period.
Yeah.
Visual Studio as your environment to compose.
Exactly. Yep.
So, very cool. So what else have you guys, to developers and designers, be excited about?
Well, there are a new set of controls and some new features. There's a tab control that'll be shipping, I believe, that can confirm it's part of the SDK,
yep,
I believe. We have there's been some enhancements to the data grid controls, to the datetime picker, some standard things that, you know, customers have asked for, like being able to auto size columns in the data grid, those sorts of things. So you see enhancements across the board in terms of the controls that we've shipped, just customer driven features
also,
that we've added in that space.
I mean, we've also included some of the controls that we're shipping outside platform in the platform that helps, like, you know, your default zap size, if I'm using button, doesn't have to include this extra DLL. Now it's, you know, some core controls are part of runtime. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that we heard, saying, okay, we have to include all these DLLs, because for Mix, for Beta 1, we didn't have those controls in runtime. So that's one of the improvements that we made, that those mm-hmm. controls are now in runtime.
The default, it's 4K or something? Is the default minimum app size? You do a Hello World app with a button.
Yeah.
4K on your download.
Vivek, do you want to talk about the fixes we did to the inheriting the styles as well, so the fonts? Because I know that was a painful thing.
So
for some
there, there are a couple of interesting things we have added, other than, you know, adding controls and adding a new improved 7ML. One was basically there are a set of APIs that didn't exist on controls, such as you know, font weight, font size. So in Beta 1, everybody would have to implement those APIs on their control. It was possible to do it, but everybody had to do it.
Mm.
So those now APIs are in base control class, so not everybody has to do those things.
And they work.
And they work.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm being flat, because it was a lot of work for the developer to get all that.
And,
I'm sure.
So exactly. Came in pretty tight.
Yeah. Other things, just like, even we have improved some of the scenarios where people are inheriting from our controls, you know, default key style improvement that we made, or there is items control improvement for on items change, where somebody is inheriting from items control to build their own cooler list box.
Mm-hmm.
They can now get notifications so that they can decide, you know, when the item is added, what behavior do I want for control. So the focus of the kind of thing we still want to do is to enable developers, and that is the focus, that we, not everything we're going to build,
mm-hmm.
and we should make sure things can be built on top of what we share.
Of course. So,
you mentioned the data binding that we added to attached properties as well as animating attached
and
properties.
Animating custom DPs was one of the improvements we made.
These are all customer-driven features.
Validation was another request that we're getting. So we added validation support for binding.
Clear value.
Clear value, DPs, those are tools, visual tree helper. Object key animation so that you can animate structs and visibility.
Nice.
Their property like dp.clearValued and then Visual Studio Tree Helper, I already said. For input, like we made full screen input, some of the keys that we allow now in full screen, but
multi-line text box. Now we have a scroll bar. There's little things that, you know, it took us a lot of work, and
sure.
In beta 1 we only just got multi-line text box working, but we didn't quite get the
scroll bar
on by design.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a scroll bar. It's kind of, you hear this like, of course.
Yeah.
But now we have it, so.
Sure. Well, it takes work.
It's a lot of work.
What you're hearing is we did a lot of, you know, fit and finish on, we listened to feedback. So we talked at first about some of the bigger things that we added that were new things, but we had a lot of feedback on what we had already. What I think is either Mark or Vivek sort of glossed over was the fact that we added some additional input for full screen mode, which was really important for a set of scenarios where people wanted to have a great 10-foot kind of experience, where the, you know, lean back type experience. Well, the problem we had before is that we could do basic, you know, mouse input was effectively it. Now we have the ability to do an arrow key type solution, so which is really good for anybody who's developing that a sort of full screen interactive experience.
Outstanding. Now, one of the things that we sold, or I should say marketed about when we first released Silverlight was that, hey, it'll run in multiple execution environments, meaning platforms, meaning Windows or Mac or whatever else you guys are thinking of. So have you made any adjustments there? Like, how's it going with Silverlight running on various flavors of Linux with the work that we're doing with people?
We've decided to cut everything but Windows Vista.
Excellent.
And we'll be shipping in the box.
Cool. And we're going to buy Adobe. There won't be no more Flash. We're going to call it Silverlight.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, is this going out?
Is this live?
This is live. Right?
Well,
I thought we were getting around.
Sorry. We're not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
No. We've added Safari 3 support. You guys correct me if I'm lying.
That's okay. The point is,
we test under Safari 3 and Firefox 3 both now.
Okay.
And IE8.
And IE8. So we're constantly looking at new platforms. Win2k, I guess, was an addition in V2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new in the updated beta 2. But we are, as new browsers come out on OS X and new browsers come out on Windows, we continue to look at those and test with them. And ultimately, when they become when they release, we'll support them as appropriate.
So what was harder to deal with, Firefox 3.0 or IE8?
We're not done with Firefox 3.0.
Sure.
We're
you're done with IE8?
No
offense, Dean and company. We all love you. It's just curious.
We can't be done.
They're both moving targets.
Yeah.
And that's typically what's hard.
Yeah. Sure.
It's just keeping up with the moving target.
They both have not been zero work.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. They both have bugs, and there's, you know, back and forth on is it our bug, is it their bug?
Yeah.
So
it's really challenging. I mean, you're running in the context of a browser, which is a very restricted environment from an execution context.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think a lot of people really get that, right? I mean, it's a hard problem to solve.
Yes, it is, especially when different browser technologies give you different ways to hook in or plug into it. And so we have two main ways, the sort of ActiveX and the Netscape plugin. And they have different hooks that they provide for things like input and drawing. And so it is a bit of effort there. And then when you add the browser matrix on top of that, there are differences between Firefox and Safari, even though they may support the same type of plugin, a Netscape plugin, that it can be challenging. One of the things that we did, I guess it was in beta 1, we added byte range requests, or did we finish that in beta 2?
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically byte range requests for it improves your seeking experience when you're working with media, so that you can do forward seeking and instantly forward sync. The thing is that the platform support for that in all the browsers was not consistent, so it created, you know, a lot of headaches for Mark and his team to have to try to find ways to be able to support this consistently across browsers.
Absolutely. And you're, you know, there you are. You and your brethren, sistren, are you're staying up late at night.
Team, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, not just the development experience on top of the platform we're creating. Let's talk about the development experience of making this thing. What's it been like? Just curious.
It's been amazing. It's just one of the most... I've been at Microsoft 12 years. Mm-hmm. It's just been one of the most fun things I think we've all done. Mm-hmm. Just having an incredible team here. Everybody likes it. Everybody loves the technology. We all work hard, mm-hmm. but it's all very rewarding, so we love how it's going.
Now, are you writing... purely in managed code, right? I mean, are you implementing some C++ wrappers somewhere?
It's about it's 80 to 90% C++.
Okay.
Because that helps us on the portability, and the APIs you're exposed are
managed.
Are managed,
of course. Yeah. Interesting. So how's that? So you're using Visual Studio to write your C++, or you still have a bunch of the old kind of Emacs types on your team?
Everybody on the team has their own, their diehards.
Sure.
Everybody has their own special favorite thing.
Uh-huh.
I think all the cool kids use Visual, look at it. Source and Type. Some people swear by VS. So
yeah.
So
command line
cool.
compiles, stuff like that.
I know not to even, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to pick what they want. Everybody, you know, most devs are using... what they want.
Sure.
So people swear by Notepad.
One thing you did mention was supporting managed interfaces, and just want to be clear that we also support JavaScript. We support it in 1.0. We continue to support JavaScript in 2.0 and Beta 2. We continue to support it as well. So that's a key thing for bringing the HTML developers forward, that they can continue to work in the environment they're used to working in. People have made 1.0 investments, can continue with their 1.0 investments, since we do support that in 2.0. So that is something where we have to worry about exposing our stuff internally such that it can be used in both managed code and as well as we can continue to expose it to JavaScript as well.
Absolutely. And for a lot of people out there that have invested a significant amount of JavaScript in their Silverlight or in their Silverlight implementation back in the V1 days, there are tools out there that will take JavaScript converted into MSIL, one of them being Volta. Part of one of the things that Volta does can take MSIL, convert it into different formatted MSIL to target different execution contexts or target JavaScript and vice versa. Interesting solution. Whether or not they got the vice versa thing fully working is cool. There's also ScriptSharp.
Goes the other way.
That goes the other way, but that's the thing about ScriptSharp. I like it, but the problem with ScriptSharp is it just goes from syntax to syntax, whereas I prefer sort of, you know, syntax or underlying kind of IL to another type of IL. That's a much more powerful solution, in my opinion. But I just brought that up because it could be an interesting use of some of these pretty cool technologies. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on what they were doing. So, what else should we talk about? I can randomize this in an interesting way. What's your favorite new feature in V2? Or what's your favorite? It doesn't have to be a feature. Maybe it was a bug you fixed or some kind of cool code you wrote. What's your favorite thing?
Mark, what bugs?
Okay, had
you
fixed.
Yeah.
Okay, had fixed.
Yeah. The bug you had fixed that got broken.
Adaptive streaming is probably by far the coolest. I most very, very proud of that. That and just in general, the improvements we've had in our stability. Just,
mm-hmm.
Of course, that's measured by, you know, we have a bunch of internal metrics, and it's kind of geeky to be excited about a metric moving so much, but it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a key part of shipping is moving those metrics internally, and it's not seen externally as much, but internally it's a real key thing.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite feature, unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with Mark, because when we were able to show the demos after beta, it is so... I'd love to give him something else, but
that's fine. That's an actually
nice
really cool.
There's some event that's going to use it, right?
Yeah,
can we talk about that?
Yeah, what is...
What's a sporting event this year? This is 08.
Yeah.
What's a big thing? It's called
Olympics?
Olympics.
Is that where a bunch of countries get together and run around with the torch or something?
What's a TV station in the U.S.?
Yeah.
What's it called? NBC?
NBC or something?
Oh, yeah, NBC.
I thought they kept it in August because they want to align with Silver and Beta 2.
Yeah.
Well, that's
why we've been working so hard. Yeah.
Well, that's actually, congratulations. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Silverlight at the Olympics.
Yeah, we're
going to
be,
wow.
We're all pretty excited, and it's going to be, it's going to be a big deal.
My favorite feature, I mean, I would love to say MBR, but honestly, it's the scroll wars in multi-island text bar. Because when we went beta one with it, we were all going to think, okay, people are going to call us stupid.
Yeah, because you didn't have a text box, right?
We had multi-island text box, but didn't have scroll bars. So I'm kind of happy that, you know, fewer people will call me stupid.
So that's a hard problem.
So the one feature I can say, I'm not sure it's my favorite feature, but one of the most interesting features was the IME level 3. And I was over doing some evangelism and getting some feedback from customers over in Japan and China. And when I was in Japan, I followed Scott Gu with a little... Scott was doing his customer presentation.
Yeah.
And if Scott's watching, or sorry, Scott, but to say this publicly. But so Scott did all his kung fu, sort of like kung fu, which was awesome. And I think the crowd was partially stunned.
Yeah.
And... then I got my 2 minutes of fame to go up there and show a couple new features because I had a private build of the early stuff, which was the IME level 3 support. So I whipped that out, and maybe the audience was stunned, but as soon as I showed that, that was the first time they broke out in applause, even after all Scott's kung fu stuff. So
it
was really received well in the East Asian market.
That was
great.
That was something that was just a little hard for us to fit into this release. And it was one of the developers on the team working nights and weekends that pulled it off. So, you know, credit to him. Like,
good.
That's going to be goat. You know, again, the East Asian markets, they're really going to be happy with that.
And we've done a few tweaks on that.
Yeah.
Even in beta 2, and we're continuing to make some tweaks on it to be able to turn it off in password scenarios.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually, that's a really exciting feature depending on the market you're showing it to.
That's a huge market.
There were a few other bugs, like I think there was, some bug with, particularly when we were being using the tool, memory use was exploding.
Oh.
And we fixed
C++
that.
C++,
so
memory leaks.
Well, it wasn't that. It was actually, we weren't
just kidding.
We weren't triggering garbage collection.
I was going to say, because the solution was
so
like,
it's like, yeah, it's like, garbage collection.
Yeah.
It's not working.
So why, that's interesting. So you have to call collect, or what do you mean?
It's a little more,
complicated.
More
yeah, it's for another drill down about how you can host Silverlight. Which something
to be discussed later.
Certainly.
Talking about hosting, but do you want to talk about MSN Toolbar?
I mean, hosting Silverlight's very interesting.
So MSN Toolbar recently went out with their update, which basically uses Silverlight behind the scenes to do all the drawing of everything you see in the toolbar. So we might have had to fix a bug or two to better enable that scenario as well. So if you install MSN Toolbar, that's all just Silverlight behind the scenes.
Well, it's interesting because, obviously, as you very well know, it's two different memory patterns, right? I mean, one's purely stack-based, right? One, you have a garbage-collected environment. The other one is you're in charge of how the memory happens with C++, man. That's the power of it. So to have them two interact in a very intimate way is an interesting problem that I can imagine you've had to run down a few interesting conditions.
Oh, yeah.
But you did it, right? And it works. So, and you're all better for it.
Yeah.
Your devs are a little tired. Send them to Hawaii.
Yeah.
You going to pay for their trip to Maui?
I am not, but I've not been here long enough to pay for their trip to Maui. But hopefully so, they deserve it.
Absolutely.
So,
but I would like to say, would be fun to drill
Scott,
in
if you're watching.
Yeah,
Scott.
The initial morale budget we requested.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. We did the Four Seasons in Maui, families included.
I'm sure they'll understand. I'm sure MS Finance will understand.
Yeah. One thing I have to say about our team that Mark was talking about why our team is so great is that we're thinking about next version and the version after that already.
Mm-hmm.
And I know our team is excited about not just what they're doing now, but they're excited about doing the next thing and the thing after that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a set of people we have on the team who I don't think you keep away. It's like we have more features, and they're just dying to crank at the next set of features that we want to do. And that's what's great about our team is they love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a lot of them are geeks at heart. They're excited and passionate about the technology, and they just love to be here working on it.
Now, you guys hire them?
Yep.
You can drop off your... you already did.
Oh, yeah.
We are definitely...
We are hiring. That's cool. So if you're a dev out there, this could be a really fun team to work on.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah.
We're a program manager. You're all engineers in the end.
If they're good people, we're always hiring, right?
So one thing we should do is we should plug at least the new networking features that we have done some enhancements in the networking space.
Right.
We did some work to make, HTTP web request and web client basically call back on a background thread, which had some advantages as well as being compatible with what the desktop or WPF or .NET framework does today. Mm-hmm. Sockets can now work cross-domain. There are some restrictions and port restrictions on that, but they can do that. WCF had the ability to do basically duplex channels, which is pretty nice. So that means you can have server-based callbacks effectively. They give a pattern for doing that sort of thing. And you could build it using sockets back to your server. They provide a slightly better framework that sits on top of that. So there are some things we've done in that space that, as well, that round out and make the platform more usable.
Outstanding, very cool. Nice to see some, you know, using WCF because those guys have done so much rocket science around making it easier to do hard things.
Yep, they. I know they added more features than what I'm mentioning here. I think they did.
That's fine.
Excellent. Or link to JSON, I believe, was another feature that they added. So, yeah.
Link to JSON, huh?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Unless it was
very
JSON cool. Link. But
JSON and the link. Isn't that a Greek mythology?
Yeah, no, it was.
JSON and the golden link?
Don't know. I would say it's before my time, but.
Yeah.
I probably watched JSON the Argonauts once or twice as a kid.
Very cool. It's good to see link expanding. Eric Meyer and a group of misfits have done great work.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, I'm going to let you guys go back to work. Hopefully you don't have too many bugs to fix, Mark. I think you're probably done.
We're done.
Yeah.
And nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And the one last question that I'll ask is, since this is beta 2, what does that mean to a developer, to a customer? In other words, RC1 means we're pretty much done. This is release candidate. We'll take feedback, but only so much. What does beta 2 mean? I've always wondered, what does beta 2 mean?
It's just a better number than 2.
Great. It's a higher number.
So from a Silverlight perspective, there actually is a difference between beta 1 and beta 2 even in what we tell customers, and that beta 1 was a traditional beta, and we had some limited amount of customers we allowed to go live. Where beta 2, we have a more broad go-live associated with beta 2, and we're allowing commercial people to do what we call commercial go live, which is what the Olympics is doing. So we have a wider set of partners that will be taking bigger bets on it.
Cool.
So our bar and quality bar was much higher in beta 2. I'd like to say we're feature complete. We are mostly feature complete. Mm-hmm. We will have a few other nice little tidbits that we add before our RC. But they're very targeted, and we're just doing a few of them that were sort of the highest priority customer things that we felt we needed to add in the platform.
Excellent.
Very. I don't think we plugged drop-down list either, by the way.
For people to know, most of these features, even the things that Joe was mentioning that are going to spill over in the milestone after beta 2, are the things that we have heard back. So the beta 2 means we are hearing, and we're going to be improving, and
Are you listening now?
I'm listening. Okay. And
hearing
and
is one thing.
Things that don't make it into this version, we'll make it into the next version.
Right on.
Right?
There's a good difference.
Mostly done.
Mostly done.
The tuning was mostly done. RC is really, really almost completely done.
And then RTM is
we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
We
will
start again. This time we mean it.
And then service packs are,
oops.
We thought we were done, but now we're done.
Oops.
No, that's just kidding.
We know on our team, we're never done. There's always more work to do. And there's always more features to add. There's always additional things you can do to whether it's improve the quality or improve the developer experience or improve the tooling experience. And we've got a never-ending list of stuff that we're working on. The tough thing is when do you actually call it soup and when do you want to be done?
Absolutely.
When do you want to add more carrots? And we always want to add more carrots. But in this case, we're done adding that.
Sure. Sometimes it's just time for dinner. Right? All right. Great to talk to you guys.
All right. Thanks.